Hello and welcome to this podcast brought to you by the Northern Region of the University and College Union. My name's John Bryan, and in this episode we're looking at pay in further education and particularly what's happening in the FE strikes that are taking place across the country. Now, in the Northern Region we have Carlisle College and Newcastle College, both who are part of the NCG group, and they have been taking industrial action over the last 3 weeks. They have taken 7 days of industrial action so far, and they're taking days 8, 9 and 10 on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday next week. That's the 18th, 19th and 20th of October. Now, in this episode, we speak to some of our branch reps, as well as some of the pickets on the picket line who are taking industrial action. We ask them about the dispute, what's going on, and what the public and other people can do to support. If you want to find out more information about the industrial action that's taking place, just follow the hashtag RespectFE or go to the UCU website and find out more information there. Please don't forget to tell other people about this podcast and also follow us on Twitter at UCU Northern. Here we are now talking to Emma Campbell, who's the branch secretary at Newcastle. Okay, so I'm on the picket line here at Newcastle College and I'm speaking to Emma Campbell. Emma, can you just tell us about the dispute and what's going on?
Yes, I mean, it's a national dispute, the biggest dispute UCU's ever seen in FE. At the minute, we're on the picket line at Newcastle College, but across NCG as well. The current offer is 2.5% and a consolidated £500, but obviously in real terms, our wage is going down and down each year, and just 2.5 doesn't even come close to covering the cost of living.
And this is Monday. Is this day six of the strike or day seven? You've taken quite a lot of action already, haven't you?
Yeah, so we were out 2 days on the first week. No, we're out 3 days on the first week, sorry. 2 days last week, so that was the Thursday and Friday. And this is the Monday, and we've got Tuesday, and then we've got another round on the 17th, 18th and 19th. So yeah, this is day six of and it's the third wave out of the four that we're doing.
And what's it been like, kind of organising the picket, and have you seen members joining, during this dispute, or what's it been like?
Yeah, I mean, it's been really good, especially every day when people are coming out, and it can be quite tiring, but people are still turning out again and again. Friday, the weather was shocking, but we still had a pretty strong picket line. The membership has grown, absolutely massively, so you're talking, 25, 30%. So every day I'm running the membership list, and we've got new people joining up, so that's really positive.
And what can people do to, because obviously there's various people listening to this, what can people do to kind of support the dispute? Is there anything that you just want them to do?
I mean, people can come down and visit the picket line. We've had different people come down. So we've had the NEU here. We've had Newcastle Trade Councils here. Various people each week. Again, just get the message out. So anything on social media, just share it around so people know what's happening. And also you can donate the UCU's Fighting Fund as well to cover us on strike each day.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Emma. All the best with it. I'm going to speak to a few more pickets now and ask them. Thanks, Emma. Okay, I'm going to speak to one of the pickets now. So can you just tell us about the dispute? How long have you been there? This is day six or seven, is it?
Yes, day seven, aren't we on now, I think, Or day six, something like that. Yeah, the being out all together has been great, and realising how much everybody is singing from the same hymn sheet and their experiences in the college have been shared across the entire place.
Great. And what's it been like from the public and from the students? Has there been support?
Amazing support from the students. Some of them were a bit unsure, but asked all the right questions when we went back in, or would catch us when they were on their way into college and when they first realised we were on strike, and they would ask questions. They would ask, what can we do to support you? So some of them had questions about the people that were still working in the college. So I said, feel free to ask. And you know, and they were saying, what do you hope to get out of it? And so we explained it to them. And then when we went in part of their tutorial session, they had more questions. So it was a relevant opportunity to share what is a union. And I linked it to their union, which is Equity for Performing Arts. And I explained to them about how effective being part of a union can be and in getting results and realising that you're part of a bigger community, all fight for the same thing, which was really helpful for them to understand it.
Great, great. Well, thanks very much for speaking to us and all the best with it.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to speak to someone else now. I'm going to speak to this gentleman here. So you're on the picket line. Obviously, you've got lots of people here kind of who are picketing. Are they from your department or from different departments? Is it right the way across the college?
It's right the way across the college. There are a few people from my department, and I believe where I'm standing, I can see five people from my department, and more are coming out tomorrow, apparently.
Great,
and
great.
The rest are from other parts of the college.
And is it good, kind of, because one of the things that people have been saying to me is it's good kind of speaking to people from right across the college about their experiences.
Absolutely, yeah. I've met lots of different people who teach different subjects, made a lot of new friends, and yeah, it feels really good to be just part of a bigger sort of collective.
What about the public? Because obviously, I mean, we're here at the kind of main gate. It's quite busy, where you can hear the sirens in the kind of background. But there seems to have been quite a lot of kind of support from people driving past. Has that been the case?
Absolutely, yeah. There's been lots of tattoos and lots of people waving from all walks of life. People in cars, people in trucks, postal workers, ambulance drivers, truck drivers. It's been great.
Great, great. Well, all the best with it, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks very much.
Okay, so I'm joined by Matthew Cookson. Matthew is the lead UCU rep at Carlisle College. Thanks for coming on here, Matthew.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Oh, great, great. And it's good to have you speaking to us, because, you know, Carlisle College is one of the kind of further kind of outposts of FE, I guess, in England, being kind of up in the northwest. And you've been on strike recently. Can you just tell us a bit about the strike and what's been happening and what's been it like on the picket line?
Yeah, sure. Well, we've been on strike for 7 days so far, with 3 days coming up. And it's all over the pay offer that we've been offered at the Carlisle College, which is part of the Newcastle College Group. At the moment, we've been offered 2.5% on top of our current pay, with £500 one-off payment, and 1% from last year. However, with inflation running at 10%, promises of unlimited bonuses for bankers, and you know, a really uncertain winter for lots of people, it's just not enough for people here at Carlisle College at the moment, and across the Newcastle College Group. So we voted in a ballot to strike. Members rejected the offer that was made to us, and then we were out on strike for 7 days so far, as I've said, and for another 3 days coming up. And we've had good level of support for the strike. The college has been really quiet over the days that the strike has been taking place, with few students in and few staff in. And so there's been a lot of support for the action and its aims. And on the picket lines, we had the first wave. We had up to 30 on the picket line. Last time it was more around 20 people or so on the picket line each day. But there's a good camaraderie, people standing together and determined to kind of get the message over to our management, but also society at large, that further education need a better deal than it's been getting over the last decade or so.
And one of the things I've also been hearing about Carlisle College, or the UCU branch there, is that we've had quite a number of members who have been joining the union to be part of the action. I guess that's been something which is quite encouraging, and it shows that you've been doing the right thing and making the right noises.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true. In the last few days before we first went on strike, I think about 25 people joined in, you know, just in 3 or 4 days, so they could participate in the action. So that was really encouraging, positive, and showed that we got you know, people wanted to do something about the kind of the level of pay that we're facing. And yeah, it showed that the momentum was with our campaign. And even during the strike, there's been a handful of people joining as well, so they can also participate. So it is really encouraging. I've been the rep here for coming up to 2 years now, and it's been a process of kind of building the branch back up again, because we've had a lot of, in further education, you have a big turnover of staff, so lots of, at the end of every year, lots of people leave and you get a new influx. But we've been you know, active, representing members, and, you know, showing that we're willing to stand up for the rights of our members, and that seems to have encouraged quite a lot of people to join in, the not just in the last few weeks, but also it's been a steady growth in recruitment over the last couple of years, I would say, as well.
That's good. It's always good to hear that the union's growing when it's taking industrial action and looking to kind of stand up for various things, whether that's pay or workload or anything else. And just one other thing I wanted to kind of finally ask you is that I know that you've had quite a lot of support from other trade unions and other kind of progressive groups who have come down and joined the picket line. Is that something that you'd like to do? People just come along and show their support and to visit the picket lines while you're taking action?
Yeah, it's very encouraging to get people from, we've had people from Unite, GMB, the CWU, and the RMT come along to the picket line, so who are all facing their own issues and their own disputes. And so it's really good for them to show their support to us, and hopefully we can replicate that ourselves in showing support for the postal workers when they're on strike. The rail workers, I've been down to the picket lines on a couple of occasions to show support. And we had a speaker in from the RMT for our last branch meeting to talk about their dispute and offer solidarity to us for our dispute. So that was all really encouraging, because, you know, there is a sense that working people have had enough, or after 12 years of austerity and being you know, living standards declining, and it's time for there to be a proper accounting for that, and for working people to finally get a pay rise and conditions that they deserve, because we're the people who keep society running on all levels.
Well, that's great. It's great to hear that solidarity kind of exists across the labour and trade union movement. Well, thanks very much for coming on and talking to us, Matthew. All the best with the last 3 days of your strike action next week.
Okay, John, thank you for that. Much appreciated.
So thanks there to Matthew Cookson, our UCU rep at Carlisle College, to Emma Campbell at Newcastle College, and to the pickets who spoke to us live on the picket line. Now, in this next section, this is an extract from a talk that I gave to the Socialist Education Association, the North branch of the SEA. I was invited to speak by Anya Cook, who is the chair of Socialist Education Association North, along with Louise Atkinson, who is the National Education Union president. In this talk, I discuss the strategy and tactics of tackling the issue of pay and industrial action in the FE sector. I hope that you enjoy it. I want to, if I can, just kind of take a little bit of a historical kind of look at this. I'm not going to go back hundreds of years, but I am going to go back 20. And the reason I'm doing that is because the title of this is Digging for Gold. And obviously, one of the things that trade unionists and activists and socialists are always trying to look at is like, how, there's no magic kind of solution to this, but what are the sorts of things that we can do to either, you know, get more power in the workplace, to take industrial action and to get the results that we want? And I just wanted to kind of look back at what happened in NATFI and in UCU, in FE colleges, you know, 20 years ago at the start of the noughties. So what tended to happen there, so colleges are all kind of independent bodies. They've all got their own, you know, governors. They're not controlled by the local authority at all. And any kind of pay discussions that are had on a national basis are never binding. It's always just a recommendation that's made. What we saw kind of at the start of the noughties was a kind of decline in the number of colleges that would implement the pay offer that was made, or the pay offer that was agreed. And we had a kind of series of 1 or 2 day strikes that the union took, and occasionally, you know, we'd be offered 2%, we'd have 1 day's national strike, and, you know, then that would get raised to maybe 2.5% or maybe 0.5% later in the year. So we would always get something from that. Now, obviously, one of the difficulties of that strategy was it didn't necessarily engage all of the membership. And, you know, we've now got the Trade Union Act to kind of deal with, where you have to get 50% of people turning up in the ballot and actually voting. Now, we didn't really get that. And there was no, and, you know, while I'm not in favour of the Trade Union Act of 2016, which introduced that kind of anti-union legislation, one of the things that it does force you to do is do things very, very differently to how we've done in the past. And it does kind of force you to take a different look and a more kind of strategic look about how you deliver industrial action. Because, as I said, at the start of the noughties, we were quite used to kind of doing that, having a national ballot, 1 day or maybe 2 days of action. It was patchy across the piece. And we didn't really, you know, get huge results out of it, but one of the things that we did get is we got a small kind of percentage increase as a result of that. Now, what kind of happened is that we then really got to a position where actually that wasn't working, you know. So either they would, and there was 1 year, and I can't remember which year it was, but there was 1 year when the national recommendation from the Association of Colleges was to implement a 0% pay offer. Well, that was very easy for them to implement, and they got 100% implementation. But clearly that left us thinking, well, what do we do at each individual college to try and get that, to try and get something better? And, you know, some of the better colleges were either management were more kind of more friendly to us, or where we had strong branches, we clearly got, you know, a payoff at above 0%. But I'm kind of going back to that because, you know, some of the things that we did then, we can't really do now. And it's not that they were failed strategies. I think at the time, there were strategies and tactics that we adopted which fitted in at the time. But you really kind of have to kind of, you know, assess every kind of stage that you're at in order to think, well, what can we actually do here? So one of the things that we did we had a manifesto for further education. We've now got a kind of the hashtag that we're using at the moment is RespectFE. And if you go on Twitter or social media, you'll see, hopefully, you know, that hashtag being used by ourselves and by students and by, you know, supporters of the action that we're taking. Because we wanted to say, well, actually, FE doesn't get the funding that it deserves. You know, FE educators don't get the respect that they deserve. And that's something that kind of we use to cohere people around as a strategy. Now, this week and last week, there's been, so to kind of jump ahead to where we are today, this week and last week and this coming week, I think there's now 26 colleges which are taking action. Now, that's clearly a minority of colleges, but the reason we've got those colleges out is because that's where we've got a decent number of members and where those members have said that they're prepared to take action. So just to kind of link in with some of the things that Louise was talking about, because Louise talked about the importance of checking your details. And making sure that members have an up-to-date email address, have a home address, you know, as a, and an up-to-date home address on their membership, you know, details. And I'm not sure what it's like in schools, but definitely in universities where we cover, and less so colleges. But we had a number of people who had their workplace address as the address where they got union mail. Now, clearly, and for some years, we've tried to kind of get people out of that, you know, change it and what have you. Obviously, during, you know, the COVID shutdowns, people were kind of had to do that. Otherwise, they just weren't going to get any communication, you know, through the post. So that kind of checking your details, it sounds really, really boring, you know, but actually it's a sort of essential stuff that needs to be done. And you know, someone always told me there's a difference to being organised as a union or as a union branch and being militant. You know, so you can be militant and you can have all this kind of political stuff and say, yeah, we're, you know, down with this and down with that and whatever. But if you're not doing the basics of checking your membership details and that sort of boring stuff, you know, then, you know, you're just not going to be able to kind of deliver any action. So we had, and obviously the way in which we're forced to do things now is through the Trade Union Act and the need to kind of get 50% turnout in a ballot. And, you know, as Louise indicated in terms of what the NEU have been doing, you know, we've done that kind of similar process as well. And clearly we can't, we can communicate via email, you know, with our members, but we can't do the kind of full industrial action ballot by email. That has to be done, you know, through the post, as I think people will know. And despite the fact that the TUC have for some time now pushed, you know, about getting that as an electronic thing rather than it being postal, but that's clearly something that is going to be a far longer term kind of shift. So we are where we are with that, and that's meant that we, so one of the things we do is we do indicative ballots, and that's one of the things that we did, you know, across the entire union. And then from those, you know, we got a certain percentage getting over 50%, you know, in an email ballot, and others who were getting close, you know, 35-45, you know, percent, you know, turnout. Now, as Louise said, you're always going to get dropout with that, you know, or there's a tendency. I mean, you know, I don't want to kind of be too deterministic about these things, but, you know, if you're at 25%, you're miles away. You know, if you're at 48%, you're close, but it's very, you know, you've still got to kind of get over that line and get the 50% turnout. So the union took the decision to ballot the colleges where we thought we could win, and where we thought that we could, you know, get, you know, turnout of over 50%. And I think there was 30, to be honest, I forget where we are. I think 26 colleges are taking action at the moment, but I think there was over 30, 31, I think, who actually got over the initial, you know, threshold. So a minority of colleges, but clearly one of the things that's good is it kind of sets a beacon for others as well. And we're finding now that other branches are kind of saying, oh, well, you know, it would be nice to be a part of that. And clearly, you've got to demonstrate that you've got the membership support for that. And that's great if you can do that. But it's kind of getting, you know, we have to kind of deal with where we are in terms of the legal process. But also that means that we have to talk to members. We have to get them involved. And we have to communicate with them. And that's one of the things that it's forced us to do, something which is probably a little bit different than has traditionally happened in the past, I might suggest. The other, just to talk about some of the other things that we've done, and Anya mentioned about some of the university strike action that we've had. And, you know, so there's something called Through-Text, which is, you have to pay for the service. I've not used it myself. But it's a peer-to-peer texting service. You basically do it online. And if you've got the mobile phone number of a member, then, you know, you can do quite a few in a short period of time, I understand. And it's a way of, you know, texting and saying, have you voted? If not, you know, do you need a new ballot paper? This is where you click here in order to get a replacement ballot paper. And so that kind of technology, you know, that is available, we have to use it in order to try and increase, you know, the turnout. We've used it successfully in higher education. We've used it a bit in further education as well. And it's one of those tools that you can use. The TUC, I think, have done it. I think there's something online that you can watch about how to do it. But it is one of those things that we can use to try and, you know, get the vote out. And when we actually say GTVO, get the vote out, is a kind of, you know, shorthand for this sort of campaigning. The other thing that I'll just mention is there's a difference between aggregating and disaggregating. Now, what I mean by that is that, so, you know, back to the noughties, if you like, what we used to do, all the colleges, you know, together, we used to ballot all of our membership, and you were allowed to do this. It was perfectly legitimate to do it within the legislation. You'd ballot all of the colleges and you just add them all up and see, you know, see what the turnout was, see whether people voted yes or no. And obviously, you know, what used to happen was you'd get a yes vote for action. Now, that was aggregating everyone together. And one of the things that we've done, and we've changed how we've done this depending on the situation, is we've done what's called disaggregation. So we've done it on the basis of institution by institution. So we did it in higher education. So rather than getting everyone, all of the universities, every university was balloted individually. And so that meant that even though you might not have had 50% of the entire membership, voting, that where you had 55% or 65% in individual institutions, you were able to bring those institutions out on industrial action. And that's one of the things that we've done with colleges this time, is we've done it on an individual basis. One of the unusual things about an organisation like NCG, Newcastle College Group, is obviously we've brought all those together in one ballot, and we've had people out at Newcastle, Carlisle, Southwark, Lewisham and West Lancs College, because there's various different colleges which kind of make up that, but we've dealt with it as one employer. I think I'll stop there, Anya, because I've no idea how long I've talked for, but I'll possibly talk long enough. But I think the thing that I just wanted to emphasise was that, and the reason I wanted to go back a bit, is that there are different ways that you tackle things, and you very much have to look at where you are, look at what you can do within the legislation, and make a judgment call. And I just very much kind of agree with what Louise said about doing your best to get this right. Now, you can get this wrong, but, you know, we always try and get it right. And clearly what you want to do is you want to try and deliver action first of all, and then that's difficult enough, but then you need to deliver an outcome for that action as well, because if you don't, then you do get yourself into a difficult position, because then you think, well, what's our exit strategy? What might we accept? And in the past, I think, you know, some of the things that we've tried to look for is, you know, maybe changes in workload or changes in holidays. But because pay is such a crucial issue at this moment in time, that's definitely the one thing that we are going for and trying to kind of crack if we can. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of our podcast. Please don't forget to like, favourite and subscribe to our podcast in whichever podcast app you use. Please also share our episodes so that other people can find our content. If you want to find out more about the FE strike, you can go to ucu.org.uk/FEPayEngland. And if you want to find out more about the Socialist Education Association, you can find them on Facebook and on Twitter. Please don't forget to share our content and listen in again next time. Thanks now.